Hi, my name's Kimberly. I'm an alcoholic. Sup? Tonight I'm going to be introducing John W. I just barely met him, so I didn't have time to go on his Facebook page and find all his gory details out so I can make jokes about him. But anyways, what I did find out is he is from Tulare. He got sober September 6, 1986, so that is 33 years. That's a long damn time. But he did tell me that he likes to sail and snow ski. He likes to ride bikes with his friend Mike. Mike P. right here. So he came here on a court card. And so everybody on a court card, that's hope. Because I know a lot of us have. I did, actually. And the most interesting thing I think I found about him today is that his toenails are painted orange and black. It could be... And, yeah, so he has painted toenails right now. he went and got a pedicure with his wife, and I guess he didn't want to take the paint off yet. So, anyways, I'm pleased to introduce John W. to... W? Did I say W? John W. to share his experience drinking up.
Kim asked me something odd or weird about me, and I said, well, my toenails are painted orange and black, and my wife and I got a pedicure about a month ago, and so she wants to get hers painted her orange and black, so I thought I'd get mine painted orange and black. I hope you can hear me okay. Is that better?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Anyway, I appreciate everyone being here and being a part of AA, you know. I want to talk about that circle and triangle we have, you know, is there's three parts of that triangle, which are the legacies of AA, which are unity, service, and recovery. And the thing is there's, recovery is there are the steps. And the unity is, the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous and how we get along. And the service is so important. And I'll talk a little bit more about service right when my alarm goes off. But right now I want to talk about the unity because, you know, when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous back in 1986, I didn't know anything about the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Actually came to AA in 1984 after my first DUI. Like Kim said, I got a court card I had signed, and for a whole year to have my, because I was a second offender because I got my second DUI quickly after my first. And thing is I didn't know anything about the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Heard people talk about the steps and talk about working the steps and getting in the service and doing other things in AA, but I had no idea what it was about. You know, it was like Greek to me. I was just in a fog when I came to AA. I was 24 years old when I first came in. I was had a car accident and I came into Alcoholics Anonymous after my first DUI. That was after Thanksgiving weekend of '84, where I was up there at the Scoreboard Restaurant, which has since been torn down, but it was over on Shaw Avenue, and I was pretty lit up and driving over there on Barstow, north of Fresno State, where all those stop signs are. And I thought those stop signs shouldn't be there. You know, I thought, you know, why are these stop signs here? It's stupid, you know, it delays traffic. And I thought, well, you know, I'll take care of that. I'll just blow through them all. So I blew through them all about 60 miles an hour, you know, from Cedar to Chestnut. And coming back, went to my friend's house where I did some outside issues and came back and was pretty awake and but also in a blackout because I was drinking heavily then also, and I got airborne on Chestnut, and where Chestnut crosses Barstow, and the cops were right there at the stop sign. Luckily, they didn't pull out in front of me because I would have hit them because I didn't know what was going on. And anyway, I had that first DUI there at the farm at Fresno State, and and I, after that, I went to the meetings in Farmersville. Came back down here and to Larry for the Thanksgiving weekend, and my dad found out about it, and he had Claude R., who a few of us know, who was the past mayor of Tulare, who got sober, and he 12-stepped me, and took me to meetings in Farmersville where I didn't think I was like everyone. You know, I thought I was hip, slick, and cool, 24 years old, in the nursing program, wasn't going to be any problem at all getting, you know, the DUI out of the way and, you know, get on with my life, you know. And so I was, of course, when I didn't relate to the people at all in the rooms, when I didn't listen to their stories or, you know, relate to them all, I started drinking again and got my second DUI in January 26th of '85. and had a few more relapses after that. But, you know, that second DUI was an accident, and I plowed my car into another car in Tulare, and that's where I got the court card from. And the court card I had, you know, it saved my life. And welcome to the court card carriers, you know. I'm sure there are a few people here who have court cards. You know, if you have a court card, raise your hand, please. I had a court card I had to have signed for a year. And the thing is by doing that, you know, I by having that court card, it exposed me to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I found something in Alcoholics Anonymous that I wanted, you know, because, you know, there's a great attraction to people who are making it and who are, you know, who I know are alcoholic and getting sober and in recovery and changing their lives for the better, you know. There's this saying in Alcoholics Anonymous, which I heard up there in Fresno, you know, if you want what we have, do what we do. And, you know, I saw people going places in sobriety. I saw them improving their lives. And so, you know, I tried to do what they did in the beginning, a little bit at a time. And so, you know, like I said about the Unity situation, Unity part of the legacies, I didn't know what end was up when I came in the rooms, but I knew that, you know, there must be some type of something strong in AA, because people were hugging me at meetings, you know, saying, keep on coming back, and, you know, glad to see you at another meeting. And and they actually had real smiles on their faces, and they were real honest. They were real. And I really appreciated that, and so much so that, you know, I came back to another meeting, you know, and I kept on coming back. And by doing that, you know, I've been sober 33 years now, and the applause that was given was for AA. It wasn't for me. It's for the program of Alcoholics Anonymous working in another person, because, you know, I'm an alcoholic to the nth degree, because I'm self-centered, egotistical, and get angry really. Used to get angry really easy. Now I just get angry at Mike occasionally, but, you know, but I really try to. That was a joke, by the way, Mike. I had to cue the laughter right there. Anyway, but, you know. The Unity in Alcoholics Anonymous is what I really knew at first, you know, because I knew that people were staying sober, doing stuff after the meetings, going up to Bob's restaurant, because, after I got my a few meetings done down here, I went back to the Fresno State Nursing Program and tried to finish that program, which I never did. But I tried to struggle with that for another year and a half. And in that time, I was still going to meetings up there, you know, after meetings, we would go like to Bob's restaurant on the corner of Shaw and Clovis, and I don't know if it's still there or not, but I was used to go to lots of meetings at the Northeast Fellowship. We used to be over on Pulaski, and that place has lots of meetings. I mean, you think Bridge Group has a lot of meetings. Northeast has even more. And in the morning, noon, and night. And I go to lots of meetings there, and I really felt a part of, and people welcomed me. And I did things like went for bike rides with guys up there, up to Woodward Park, and went to events, went to speaker meetings, went to roundups, and went to and all through my sobriety, I've gone to conventions and stuff. Not so much now, but because I'm married now. So, but when I was single, I would was able to do that. I would go to more, go to conventions and go to like the Bakersfield Roundup and other things. And I went to the International Convention in San Diego, which was just a gas, you know. I mean, you know, you talk about the unity and the good feeling of the group. The whole meetings were in Jack Murphy Stadium when it was still standing, and you know, having that stadium packed with alcoholics doing the wave before the actual meeting started, before the welcome meeting started on Friday night, was amazing. You know, you could see, I mean, it was packed. The whole Jack Murphy was packed with the alcoholics all around and doing the wave, and they were doing the flag ceremony, and bringing up all the flags that AA was in, and when they brought the American flag out, people were stomping on the floors, and the whole stadium was shaking. I mean, the stadium was rocking, and he was really shaking, and you could really feel the power of Alcoholics Anonymous right there. And I tell you, it brought tears to my eyes. I actually started crying, you know. And I hope you can hear me, because sometimes I get choked up and start speaking quietly. But let's see, this is a good sound system, thank God. But, you know, like I said, the whole warm feeling in my heart for Alcoholics Anonymous has never ended in all these years. Never. Sometimes I have shitty days, you know, but I know that, you know, if I call someone or if I, you know, go to a meeting, pray to God and, you know, give it over to a higher power, my life gets better, you know. And I know that that strong feeling in my heart has always been the power to keep me coming back, you know, because Alcoholics Anonymous, once again, has saved my life. I talked about service work a little bit. I'm not gonna wait for the alarm. You know, another part of the legacy, another side of that triangle, because you know those three legacies I've talked about. You know, service, unity, and recovery. They all intertwine. They all, you know, I mean, there's important parts. You know, the 12 steps, important parts of service work, which is, you know, like the people up here at the committee up here doing the stuff up here, and people doing the arrangements for having this meeting, and other things like central office and general service. Doing all that stuff right there helps Alcoholics Anonymous stay whole and helps Alcoholics Anonymous continue to function. Of course, the groups are very important, but, you know, doing service work in the meetings, just picking up cigarette butts outside, you know, after the meeting, you know, is important also as a way to get back to Alcoholics Anonymous, talk to another alcoholic. There's many, many, many ways you can get into service, and you don't have to have a certain amount of sobriety to be of service. You can be of service with one day of sobriety, you know. You can shake somebody's hand, you know, and give somebody a hug. Be at the door like these guys are over here, welcoming people coming in the room and saying, hi, glad you're here. You know, if I didn't have that in the beginning, I wouldn't be here today. Truth. If I didn't have the people welcoming me and giving me smiles and saying, glad you're here, John, and, you know, good to see you again, and, you know, that unconditional love, I wouldn't be here today. So the unity was very important for me in the beginning because, you know, I didn't know anything else. I didn't know about the steps at all. Steps were Greek to me. Service. Why should I be of service to you guys, you know? I mean, I got my own shit going on, right, you know? Because, you know, I'm a... you understand, you know, I'm a self-centered alcoholic, and I like to... You know, the most important topic for me to think about is me, right? So the thing is I couldn't understand the ideas of giving away to keep it. Didn't know that what that meant at all. I thought that was another, you know, like I said, Greek saying to me. But I know today that it works, you know. Thing is I was going to talk about the, with the new, I don't know, attitude of society nowadays, it's more and more self-centered nowadays, I think. Society has become more and more, you know, focused on the self rather than the other person. And so I think more and more today, service is important. Service, getting into service work is important. And if you want any continued sobriety, I don't know anyone who has, you know, double-digit sobriety here in this room who hasn't gotten into service and done some type of service work and stayed in service. Because, you know, in the first 2 years of my sobriety, you know, I was able to chair meetings, you know, I'm not able to secretary meetings all the way through. I was just secretary of at least one meeting for the first 2 years of my sobriety. Maybe 2.5 years when I was up there in Fresno. And I, you know, and the thing is what stands before you here today, these people with, like Mike and others, and they're the Mike, and many, you know, old timers in these rooms, you know, the thing is, you know, what stands before you here today with me and the others, other old timers in these rooms, was what they did before, right? What you're going to do now, what you're doing right now will shape what you're going to be in the future. So if you want to get a good program going on, hey, Jim, you can see Jim back there, another old-timer, even way more time than me. But, to have that type of quality of life, you know, doesn't just come like magic. It takes work. You know, work is a four-letter word, and we don't like that word sometimes. But, you know, the thing is, by doing that, we improve ourselves to the point where we become more. I know that for me, working the steps, I've become more a part of the human race, you know. Because before I was just the oddball out, you know. I just wasn't part of the process at all. Today I'm part of the process, which is a neat deal. And, you know, in the final analysis, I'm an alcoholic. I'm a drunk, you know, who will drink if I can. I'll drink today if I could, but, you know, I can't. I'm not going to pay the price, you know. The thing is, I would still enjoy the euphoria of getting loaded and having fun and doing whatever else, you know. The instantaneous gratification comes that when I'm loaded. But, you know, the thing is and it's not worth it, you know, for me. That's why I've stayed here all these years. That's why I keep coming back to these rooms. You know, I don't come back here. The old timers, the people who have time under their belt, you know, who don't have a court card or not really, you know, any real chain pulling them to like, hey. The thing is, why they come back is they know what happens when you don't come back. You know, they know what happens when you don't go to AA. Because in the end, we've seen people drink. We've seen people that we know, friends, die in Alcoholics Anonymous. I know three guys personally who I sponsored, who I worked with, you know, who are dead now, you know. So the thing, if I want to think about those guys, you know, and their lives and the waste that they, you know, how they wasted their lives, you know, I know that Alcoholics Anonymous is worth it. And Alcoholics Anonymous is a deadly disease. It'll kill you flat out. It'll kill you dead, you know. And the thing is, as we in these rooms, you know, we get to be, you know, skipping along in life and early sobriety and have that on that pink cloud. We forget the thing that we're working with a deadly disease. But please understand, it is. So, you know, back to thing about being of service. If anyone can, you know, take anything from this at all tonight, is that, you know, if you really want to get sober and really, really give it a try, and know that, you know, people with some sobriety under their belt aren't talking, you know, outside of their neck. They're really talking truth to you when they say they're happy, joyous, and free most of the time, better than before, you know, which I am. You got to do some work, you know. And by doing that, by staying in Alcoholics Anonymous, I highly suggest you get into service, you know, do some service work. What that does is that gets you committed to going to meetings. If you're a secretary, you're going to that meeting every week in, week out, you know. And people get to know you, people get to know who you are, people get to know that you're real. And they get to know the real you. And in addition, you get to know them also. You get to 12-step them. Because you guys are 12-step for me tonight, right? You guys are carrying the message to me to keep me sober. So the thing is, you know, I'm by doing this and by continuing to go to meetings and continuing to be of service, you know, we can all stay sober tonight, you know, and we can all stay sober another day, because in the final analysis, that's what it's for. I'm not here, period, to, you know, crack jokes or be Mr. Speaker of the Year, which I would really appreciate that, Mike, if you put that on my tape. Things like that, you know, but I mean, that's not the point. The point is that we stay sober today, that we carry the message to one another, you know, that we help one another get sober and stay sober, you know. We talk to each other on the phones. Many times today, the texting and phone calls can save a life, you know, because I know that for me, when people call me up, even still today, gosh, it's like, you know, wow, you know, what's going on, you know. They called me, you know, geez, I mean, wow. And because sometimes I still have days of low self-esteem where I feel like a piece of crap with eyes. And, you know, the thing is, I not so much so that bad, but I mean, it's pretty graphic. But, you know, I've had some bad days, you know, and we all will. But if we keep on coming back to meetings, keep on staying sober, keep on trying to, you know, work the steps and talk to our sponsor. And get a sponsor. You know, a sponsor isn't just an assigned friend that you get when you come to a meeting. Okay, a sponsor is someone you work the steps with of Alcoholics Anonymous. The friendship comes later on. You know, or the friendship might be there already, but you know, for sure the friendship comes later on, because you know the thing is, we get to know each other, and so please don't, you know, ask someone to be their sponsor and don't call them. Because, you know, when someone's asked me to be their sponsor, you know, I'm thinking they're going to call me. And, you know, oftentimes that doesn't happen, because they just want to get a sponsor thing. Someone can say they had a sponsor. So, and I know that, you know, I know some people in these rooms might not be alcoholic or might not really want this program. But, you know, the thing is if you stay in these rooms and you be a part of, you realize we're not a room of lepers, okay? We're not. And we're trying not to be a clique either. Please know that Alcoholics Anonymous is not a clique at all. And if you go to a meeting that's a clique, go to another meeting, you know? Because the thing is, you know, there's lots of meetings in town with the Bridge Street and other places going on, and the club, the Galano Club, that you can, you know, find the group of people that you relate to. And for me, relating to one another is so important for me to stay sober, you know, even today. So I love Alcoholics Anonymous, love what it's done for me, and it has, you know, saved my life. You know, I was... in this room, there's a few people I know, you know, who have, gone to school with Jack over here, that have, from Sundell on, There's a Sundell school and elementary schools. Known Jack for years, Known Jim for years also. Bo and Mike, my buddy Mike, the ski buddy, and Brett. Brett raises hands. Brett and me go back far enough. I'm not going to say way back. We go back far enough, I think, But, the thing is, by the camaraderie in these rooms, the friendliness I have with these people, the people that know me, the people that know my story, and people that know that, my character defects, all my flaws, I'm still okay. They still hug me, and they still say hi, John, when they see me. Still see I have a smiling face. See, Brett? It's still smiling, look at him. And Jim? Jim's a new friend, but I think Jim's okay. He's okay also. Alan and Mike, I've gone skiing with, I've had tons of fun, tons of fun with these people. And we, by doing that, we realize, alcohol is not a necessity to have fun. Because, lots of us, we say, we get sober and we go, wait, what do I do now? I don't have alcohol. Because we do everything with alcohol before. Drive. And, whatever else we can do. Sail. And, bike ride, not so much now, but the thing is life has gotten better through this great program of AA, And I hope you can understand the fact that, and maybe listen to the laughter, look at the people nodding, people nodding their heads, they relate. And hopefully you relate too. If you don't, come to another meeting where you find someone who does, you relate to, because, heck, if I'm not connecting with you at all, someone else will in Alcoholics Anonymous for sure. Because, I like to think that I'm the, like I said, Speaker of the Year, but, you're not going to find that, in every meeting. And you will find that if you go to enough meetings. But what you got to do, you got to go to a lot of meetings, right, to find that person. You can't just hit or miss. And being committed to go to meetings is very important for me because I'm committed to these meetings over in Tulare because over there at the Hillman House, thank God we're back in that place again, but back over at the Hillman House at 220 West Tulare Avenue. Invite everyone to come on over on, there's meetings over there 6 nights a week. Monday night, you got to be a woman to go there, but, the young people's meeting, I used to think you had to be a young person, but you don't. I've gone to that meeting before. Mike kind of frowns on it, but anyway. I'm going to do that, but the thing is, the reason I go to young people's meetings is because I want to let them know I got sober at 26, and I'm still sober today. You can stay sober, right? You're applauding Alcoholics Anonymous once again. And the thing is, you can stay sober. Your life can improve, no doubt. You can go places. You can improve yourself. And, I would not even believe where I am today. I know Rick Spont, Rick S., long hair Rick. He says, he has better today than he ever has. Well, I do too. I don't have the money Rick has, but the thing is, that's a joke again. But the thing is it's nobody has the money Rick has. but the thing is Alcoholics Anonymous again has changed my life for the better. And I wouldn't have it any other way today, no other way because, I'm self-supporting. And thank you for, kicking that money into the basket because Alcoholics Anonymous, needs your support and we can't run on fumes. We got to pay the rent for this building, buy the coffee, the drinks, whatever else, and the lemonade, whatever else we're drinking here. And the, it takes a little bit of money to run AA. We can't run on fumes. And, we're not government subsidized either. So, we run on our own gas here. What you put in the basket goes to help another alcoholic. And so we really appreciate that also, the seventh tradition. Because I know that if we didn't have that, A, we'd not be here today. And also if we didn't have the people being of service, we wouldn't have that either today. How much time do I have? Alarm will go off soon, it says. How soon? Anyway. The camaraderie in these rooms and the love I felt in these rooms has been great. I've had people, the women from Springville, in Porterville, have come to, there it goes, okay, dismiss, have come from that came to my mom's funeral, you know, when she died back in 07 or 06. And, you know, that people have been to my weddings, you know. People here have been to my weddings. I sit right in this room. My wedding that I had to Sandy, singular. Got married once about 11 years ago. And, you know, I think God put Sandy in my life, you know, because the thing is she's still, you know, it's still going strong. It's still happier than ever with her 11 years later. And, you know, so I got married late. I married at age 48 for the first time. So one of those late guys. But, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous has really been there for me in times of need when I've had, like I said, when I've had ultimate sadness with my mom and dad dying. And they've been there for me ever since. They will continue to be there, I'm sure, in the future. Because Alcoholics Anonymous is strong. It's never gone away. Alcoholics Anonymous will always be there. There'll always be a meeting, you know, in some town or wherever you are, you know, or someone you can call, you know. So get some numbers when after the meeting, you know, and talk to people on the phone, you know. Because Alcoholics Anonymous will save your life, as it did mine and many others in these rooms. It's saving everyone in this room, in fact, tonight. Because we're not drinking, right? So welcome. Glad everyone's here, and really appreciate the meeting tonight, and appreciate Bill, who's not here tonight. I thought Bill would be here for sure, because I was going to talk good about him, too. Bill and I used to sail together on Huntington Lake. You know, I took Bill out, and used to think I was the one who corrupted him, but I'm not. I think Bill was partying long before I met him. But, you know, Mr. Hatzman was on that... on that beach at Lakeshore, and Bill, his dad, was we used to be my old swim coach, and he's at the Tulare Sharks. And so, anyway, you know, I've got ties on lots of people in these rooms from long ago. And because of that, you know, we want to see these people, and when they see me, their eyes brighten up, you know. I know it's always good to see Jack, because, you know, we have a family that is sick also, personal family. Both he and I have... as many in these rooms have personal family members who are sick also. But I think if we stay sober ourselves, we can be an example for sobriety. We can be an example for Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, as long as we keep on walking it like we talk it. So once again, if you want what we have, do what we do, and please stay. Thank you.